Aren't you grateful that Almighty God is a mighty fortress? I love that song. It's been around a while, but on this September 11th, Sunday, 15 years ago, you know, I was singing this morning, this is sort of our, for this generation, it's our Pearl Harbor. It's the time we remember where we were. We know what was going on when those two planes flew into the towers in New York and we watched that horror unfold. And what a blessing it is to say that Almighty God is our strong tower. He's the strength of our nation. We trust in God. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord Almighty. And so in a moment, I want us to pray for our nation. Before we do that, I want to talk with this group about their trip to Mexico because it was powerful. You know, every time we go to Mexico, we do something a little different. We go a little further. We take steps toward our objectives. And so tell us a little bit about why you went, what you did, what this trip was about, Barbara.
This time around was the Bible study for children, and we went with a very evangelistic lesson. Each day we gave an invitation, and there was a wonderful response from the children. We also went with Bibles in Spanish to give to the children for the first time, and also some devotional books that were in Spanish, and that was very exciting for us to be able to leave something with them. And then another thing that we're very excited about that we were able to do this time is we took pictures of the children with their name tags, so we would have a record of these children, and each team that goes back can follow up with these children and check on them and visit with them. So we were really excited.
That's awesome. You know, every time we go, we have like one main thing. I mean, at least in our minds, we say, this is the main thing we're doing. But there's so much more that happens than just the main thing. What are some other things that you think kind of transpired over the course of the week that you're there?
Well, my favorite part was getting to stay in the village with the people. We lived with them. We ate breakfast with them, stayed in their house. So since we were there all day, we were able to really fellowship with them throughout the day. When the Bible study was over, we got to go play basketball with the kids. I know it was like almost 12 o'clock one night, and they were still in the room playing with me and Katie. They wouldn't let us sleep.
That's awesome. You know, really a key part of our ministry there is our relationships. And so by staying in the village, you really were able to probably build new friendships and to connect to some kids that maybe we've never connected before, but I'm sure that there were kids there who've been a part of what we've been doing for a while. Now, I know that we continue to go. Every time we go, one of our goals is to have an impact on Isaiah and Luby. And Isaiah is and his son were the first two we were able to baptize through this ministry. And I know, Tim, you did some discipling of Isaiah, and we're really preparing. He doesn't know this, but we're preparing him to be the pastor of the church. He just doesn't know that yet.
Tim, I did mention, he had mentioned the church they're going to in Tuxtepec, the need for leadership in that church. And I, in a sweet, loving way, I mentioned to him that I feel like that's where God is wanting him to be, is to be a leader in the church. And he didn't refute that. I can see where God is moving in Isaias's life, really growing him. They're going to church every Sunday. He's studying God's word, and he's really expanding his understanding.
Yeah.
It's
amazing. We say they're going to church. They're actually going into the main city, so it's like a 45-minute or more than that.
It's hard. It's difficult for them to go as a family. But
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a journey just to get in there. They got to catch this bus, and they got to go into town. I mean, it's a huge deal. And so we look forward to the day when we're able to plant a church right there in that village. And I think we're getting really close. I think by next summer. We'll be there. Now, whenever we go on a mission trip, we go to give, but we always receive. So what impacted you? Maybe an event that seemed to really speak to you, or what did you take away from this experience?
For me, there were many, and of course the time spent with Luby and her doing my hair one day, braiding it like they do there, was very special, and eating her food, which was delicious. But one particular moment that we had in teaching the lesson, the last day we were there, we taught them a new verse each day, and they had to memorize it. And they'd come back, and almost all of them would have it memorized.
Wow.
I mean, they were amazing. But that last scripture was John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And the girls were teaching the memory verse, and they would have a game to help them with it. And that game for that day was Echo Mountain. And Emily, you want to tell them?
Yeah, so I would say the first part of the verse, and then one section would shout it back to me, and then the next section would try and shout it back even louder. So we kind of went through the whole verse that way.
And so by the end, they were really loud, that it literally did echo throughout the whole village. And I welled up with tears to know that God's word was being heard throughout the whole village. Mm. It was just absolutely amazing.
Wow. What else? What did you take away, Katie?
For me, it was the sacrifice that the family that we stayed with made, because they gave us like their entire house, and
wow,
they went and slept on the concrete floor in their store. Mm. And also just being able to see the relationships that had already been started from the previous groups that had gone, and just getting to grow those. And
Yeah. I know every time I go, I'm challenged to come home and work harder on my Spanish. And I challenge you to do that. God may call you to be a part of this ministry. I'm hoping next summer, wouldn't it be awesome if we could have a presence down there all summer long? Wouldn't that be awesome? We need to work on our Spanish. We need to get ready. We want to be able to share the gospel with these folks so that they can understand it and hopefully trust Christ as their Savior. Well, thanks so much. I'm so glad you got to go. And I believe that God is going to continue to use what you did to bear fruit. And the next group that goes, I think they'll see the results of that. It's awesome. Hey, you may feel God calling you to Mexico. I hope that you do. We try to go every 3 or 4 months or so, something like that. We do different things. But hopefully next summer we can even have an even greater impact as we continue to share the gospel. It's an unreached people group. When we say that, it means that when we went there 3 years ago, whenever it was, there were really no Christians. We were told, when they say unreached people group, it means less than 2% are Christian. And as far as we knew, we found one, and that is that not too long before we went, Luby, who is the store owner, she and her husband Isaiah, they live right there in the center of the village, Luby had become a Christian. And so I think God was preparing the way. And so she became our person of peace, is what we call it, and we began to build a relationship with her and working with her, and little by little we've been able to have an impact on the village. So it's really an exciting thing, and I believe that God is going to continue to do amazing things through that ministry. I want us, before we go into the Word of God, I want us to pause for a moment to pray. For some people, September 11th is just another day, but for many of us, we remember so well what happened. I do think it is a clarion call to us as a nation that our dependence is on Almighty God, not on our military, not on our president, not on our political leaders. It is on Almighty God. If God does not save us, we cannot be saved. And so I want us to pray together this morning. We're in the midst of a presidential election. So much is going on. We could go on and talk about that for quite some time, but we don't need to do that. We need to ask God to move in our nation. We need revival in our churches. We need God's protection on our land. We need God to put the person in office that He wants to put in office. I'm so grateful that God is in charge because I'm telling you, every day I watch the news, I feel like we're spinning out of control, but we are not, because God is in charge. And God is moving us toward a certain end. So would you join me as we pray together for our nation? Pray together for the families who are grieving today. I know it's been 15 years, but I'm sure for many, the wounds feel fresh and new. So would you join me as we pray? Almighty God, thank you that we can come to you and know that you are sovereign God. You are in control, and we trust you as our Savior, as our Lord, as our King. We trust you to watch over this nation. We trust you to accomplish what you want to accomplish in us. God, we pray that you would put the person in office to be our next president that's going to best accomplish your plan. I pray, Father, for your protection on our land. I pray for revival in our churches. I pray that you would stir our hearts, God, and we would be discontent with the way things are and long for them to be the way you want them to be in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would give wisdom to those who make decisions every day that impact our lives. We pray that you would... Give us a vision for evangelizing our land and evangelizing the world. We believe that you're coming again, and it could be soon, and we want to make sure that we're doing all that we can do to make the light of Jesus Christ bright in our own lives and to shine that light into our world that seems so very dark. So God, while many families mourn today, a lot of sorrow as they think back, a lot of children have grown up without parents. Lord, I pray for your peace upon the hearts of these people. I pray that your hand will be upon these families, and I pray that your hand will be upon our nation. We trust you. We thank you that you are our God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and find the book of Romans, chapter 12. As you're doing that, let me just thank you for your prayers for me and for my family. I stood here last Sunday. Little did I know my mom would pass before I got to her house that Sunday. So she went home to be with the Lord, and I rejoice, I just tell you. My mom began leaving this place a few years ago, if you know that, with Alzheimer's. It's such a horrible thing. And she's home with the Lord now, and I celebrate that. And I appreciate your prayers for me and my family. You know, as I stood to preach that funeral sermon, I told my family, I think this is probably the most important sermon I've ever preached. I really felt that way. I wanted it to honor my mom, but I wanted her life to give witness to the things that were so important to her. And one thing that was so important to my mom was that the gospel of Jesus Christ be spread around the world. And so this morning, as we begin this new series, Transformed, I'm excited about it. This was something that was near and dear to my mom's heart. She actually taught me this scripture when I was a little boy. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is going to be our theme for the whole series. And then actually it's going to be our memory verse for this week. So welcome to 50 Days of Transformation. This is the beginning of it. Today is the introduction of it. Officially, week one starts next Sunday. All right, so if you've purchased a book and you're just dying to get started, day one is actually next Sunday, I believe, is how that would work. You can start early if you want to, it doesn't matter. But there's actually, I think there's 49 devotionals in that book. There's a listening guide for your small group study. There's actually places for notes in there for the sermon. Of course, I give those to you in your bulletin every week, but you may prefer to keep notes all together in that book. That'd be great too. But I believe that God is going to use this in a powerful way in our lives. We call it a spiritual growth campaign, and that's my hope, is that we all experience spiritual growth together. The title of it is Transformed. You know, transformation means change. Now, let's tell you, not many people like change. I don't like change. I go to the restaurant, I order the same thing every time. Every time, every time, every time. The same thing. I go to the same restaurants. I order the same thing. I'll just tell you, it does make it simple. I don't have to even look at the menu. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to wonder, so what am I going to eat today? You know, it's, I got it. I like the same. Drives my wife crazy, but I like it. I tell her that's why we're going to stay together for the rest of our lives. I found something that's awesome. I love her. She's amazing. And so why would I want to change, right? Same is good. Well, God says the spiritual life is really all about change. It's all about change. So we're going to talk about, we're actually going to look at a lot of different areas. We're going to look at our spiritual health, our physical health. We're going to talk about transformation in our mental health and emotional health. We're going to talk about transforming the way we think, transforming the way we feel. We're going to talk about financial health, transforming the way we use money, our relationships. Because here's the thing, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, He begins this work of transformation, and it impacts every area of our lives. And so we're going to spend some weeks talking about this. Our spiritual transformation, I think, should be evident to us, to our families, to the people all around us. They should see Christ in us, the change that God makes in us. Now, we're going to be talking not about our past. We're going to be talking about our future. Sometimes we talk about what's going on in our life right now. Sometimes we talk about our stresses, our problems, our pressures, and so forth. But this series is about the future. It's about our potential. It's about the possibilities. It's about what God wants to do with us and in us for the rest of our lives. The change that He wants to not only make in our lives, but the change He wants to make on the world through us. Our possibilities. Making the best of the rest of our lives. Now, the theme verse is what we're going to focus on today, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I know we've talked about it before. I did a series, sort of a flyover, really, of the book of Romans, and we talked about it. But I want us to focus specifically on verse 2 today. That is the theme verse of the whole campaign. Now, I realize we all have different translations. You're going to probably memorize this in whatever translation you like. That's okay. This is the New American Standard. So let's just read it together, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It'll be our memory verse. Now, I'll tell you, Rick Warren in his book, he lets you cheat. He only gives you like half the verse. I think you need to memorize the whole thing, all right? So let's just do the whole thing, Romans 12, verse 2. Let's read it together. Ready? And do not be conformed to this world. Let's try that again. We need to all read together. Ready? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I don't know how you do when you read the Bible, when you're doing your Bible study or whatever. I like to take a passage, and I want to get the big picture. I'll outline it. I'll say, what is the meat of this scripture? What are the main things that jump out at me from this passage? And there's several main things here. I could have actually used this as a sermon outline, I suppose. But the first one is, do not conform to this world. It's like a warning. Do not conform. Do not be conformed, it says. So it's kind of a warning. The New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. I like how the Message says it. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Don't be conformed. Don't take the mold of, as Philip says. Don't take the shape of our world. It's so important that the body of Christ be different, that we ought to look different, we ought to act different, our lives ought to be different, our relationships ought to be different, our goals, our motives, on and on and on. Everything about us should be different as we live out our faith. Because, see, there's something compelling about that. When people look at your family and they go, wow, that family is so awesome. I wonder what it is that makes that family awesome. You know what it is? It's Jesus. That's what it is. And so our families, just by the way we live, we ought to testify of Christ by the way we live. How we go through sorrow. Wow, that was interesting how that family went through that. It's Jesus. He's transformed our life. The way we work, what we do with our finances, and on and on and on. Everything ought to be impacted by Christ changing us. It impacts every part of our life. So we're not to be conformed to the world. It's a sad day when the church looks just like the world. When our morals are the same. When our actions are the same. When we break down just like the rest of the world. God says, don't conform to the world, but he says, be transformed. That's really a big part of this command. Be transformed. The Greek word is the word from which we get our English word metamorphosis, change. The process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, to be changed. So we don't like change. God says, hey, change needs to be a part of your daily experience because I am changing you every day to be more like my son. We're going to talk about this over the next several weeks. And then he says, how do we do this? It's by renewing of your mind. That's the means. So don't be conformed, be transformed by renewing your mind. And we're going to talk a lot about that over these weeks. Actually, one of the sermons is specifically on that. But we're going to be talking about how to renew our minds. And we're going to offer you several steps or processes that I'll talk about in just a few moments. And then look at the results. So you may determine the will of God. God is saying, look, I don't want you to be conformed. I want you to be transformed so you can know what my will is, so you can live out my will in your life. You can experience me day in and day out, and you can know that you are walking in obedience to my plan and you are accomplishing my will in the world. So, in other words, we will not be accomplishing the will of God if we are being conformed to the image of the world, the shape of the world. There's no way that we can live out God's will or know what God's will is if we're not renewing our mind. I want to tell you, the world we live in pollutes our mind. It messes up our thinking. It changes everything. And so we've got to say, look, I've got to renew my mind with the things of God so that I will be transformed. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I hope that you'll spend a lot of time with that verse. Go ahead and memorize it this week. Go ahead and knock it out of the park. I don't mean just like memorize it here and there, a few things, sort of, kind of, I think I've got it. Nail it. When I was a kid, we started a Bible memory program when I was a little bitty boy, and we memorized scripture. It was just part of our family culture. And We had to memorize these things. When I was 8 years old, I did 4 verses a week. By the time I was a teenager, we did 15 verses a week. My mom used to say, a verse a day keeps the devil away. So, and she was talking about scripture memory. So, a verse a day keeps the devil away. Maybe it does, but this is a verse a week. I don't know. A verse a week, well, I don't know. I have to think about that one. But a verse a week. We're going to do Romans 12:2. So, go ahead and nail it and get it right. When we quoted our scriptures, we could not make mistakes. It had to be exactly as the Word of God said it. And so, go ahead and nail it down. Get it right. Memorize the Word of God. And then it will prepare you to be able to meditate on it throughout your week as you're doing whatever it is that you do. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 was written to Christian people. We've got to remember that. God inspired Paul to write this letter, we call Romans, to the church at Rome. So he's saying, listen, Christians, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Being transformed, I think, is tied to verse 1, which is talking about offering ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. If you think about it, there's two options then for us as Christians. We can be conformed to the world, and I'm telling you, our nation's full of Christians who are being conformed to the world. Doesn't honor the Lord. It doesn't help us walk in Christ's abundance. It doesn't help us experience abundant life. We're not fulfilling our life's purpose. We're not shining our light into a dark world. When we're conformed to the image of the world, we are skewing everything in our life and not accomplishing God's will. So that is one option, to be conformed to the world. But the other option is to be transformed. Being transformed. If you think about it, being transformed really is a byproduct of being a Christian. We should be transformed. Just what we call ourselves. We call ourselves Christian. It means little Christ. It means that we should be different. There's a marked difference, there should be, in the life of a believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is our scripture memory verse for next week. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. There it is, transformed. He's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Transformation. I want us to spend just a few minutes talking about transformation. I want us to see, first of all, the transformation is a command in this verse. We are commanded to be transformed. I love the Greek language. I'm not a great Greek scholar. I know enough to be dangerous, but I do know something about it. And one thing that always speaks to me is these verbs, the Greek verbs. And in this case, we are challenged to be transformed. And whenever you study the Greek verbs, you're studying tense and voice and mood. The mood of this is an imperative. This is an imperative. It is a command. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a concept. It's not an idea. God says, listen, church, I want you to be transformed. We're going to be talking about areas over the next weeks that should be transformed in our life. They should be because we are commanded to be transformed. God is saying, listen, because Jesus is in your life, there ought to be some stuff going on. There ought to be some changes. You ought to be living out your faith every day so that you can experience my blessing, so that you can walk in my joy. Transformation ought to be a part of your life. Because it's a command, we're called to make a choice. If you think about it, a command is a call to action, isn't it? God's calling us to do something, to act. Rick Warren is going to talk about how important it is to set some goals for transformation. He's going to challenge us in our video study to do that, to think about what are some changes we want to make in our life. He's going to give us several areas. You'll notice in our books, it's actually Roman numeral 6 and 7, page Roman numeral 6 and 7. He has this, my 3-month goals. I want to challenge you to say, look, I'm going to take this thing seriously, and I'm going to look at my life in these particular areas, and as I go through this study, I'm going to write out some goals for my life, some things that, some action plans, some steps that I want to take as I live out my faith. Here's the thing. We can come to a service like this and we can just sit and say, oh, that was nice, and we can go home and never be changed by it. That's not God's plan. Have you ever sat down and read God's Word and closed it up and said, ooh, good, I did that for the day, and we move on and never changed by it? That's like looking in a mirror and your hair's a mess and not picking up the brush to fix it. Why would we do that? God says, listen, I want you to be changed. And so go ahead and be a part of this and say, okay, I'm going to set some goals and I'm going to write them down. Dr. Gail Matthews, who is a psychology professor in California, did a study on goal setting. She had, I think it's close to 300 participants that did it. She found that you are 42% more likely to achieve your goals just by writing them down. There's something about writing your goal down that does something. When I was a kid, I heard this, that 90% of the people do not ever write down their goals. But 90% of those who do accomplish them. I'm not sure what the data is to prove that. But I do know this. When I write down my goals, there's a greater probability that I'm actually going to do it because I review them. I look over them. They sort of become a motivation for me to get about it. If you think about it, goal setting is actually an act of stewardship. Because here's the thing. You have 24 hours a day. What are you going to do with that 24 hours? If you plan what to do with that 24 hours, you're being a better steward of that resource of time. You're using it wisely. And what better way to plan than to say, okay, I've got these 24 hours, I've got this month, I've got this year. What are some things that I want to do in my life to become more like Christ this year? What are some changes that I want to make? What are some goals? We actually see, if you read through the scriptures, you can see a lot of people setting goals. Even Jesus had some directions and some goals and some things that he was going to accomplish with his life. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, if you don't have goals for your life, you're abdicating control of your life to somebody else. Because here's what I've learned. I've learned if I don't set goals for my life, somebody else will. I mean, isn't that true? If I don't plan how I'm going to use my time, somebody else will. And so we ought to go ahead and say, this is what I really believe God wants me to do. See, if we don't have goals for our life, we're not living, we're just reacting, we're just existing, we're just responding to whatever happens around us, and we are not growing to be more like Christ. I love 1 Corinthians 9:24. Actually, I have it cross-stitched on a little thing I got years ago. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. The thing that captures me in that verse every time I read it is that run in such a way. Run in such a way so that you'll win. What God is saying is there's some things that you ought to do as you live out your life that's going to help you accomplish what I want to do in your life. There's some things that's going to help you succeed. Run in such a way. So what is that? How do you run in such a way? I think part of it is to plan our life, to write out some goals. So I want to challenge you through this series. Transformation is a command, so let's take it seriously. I suggested on your notes that you start your goal statements with, I will. I will do this. I think that's good. I like to do that. Whenever I write out a goal, I will do this, and state it. Now, in the introduction to your book, Transform, you're going to see Rick Warren talks about making your goals smart. You've seen this acrostic. I don't know who made it up, but I think it's good. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-framed. He talks about that in the introduction. So I encourage you to do it. Take this seriously. Listen, when today is gone, listen, today is gone. You do not have another shot at it. We can't go back, let me go back and redo that. See, we are all about redo, right? Oh, I missed the news tonight. Let me just turn on my whatever you call it thing and hit rewind and watch it. You know, you can't do that. Once today is gone, today is gone. When your life is over, your life is over. You don't get a repeat unless you're Shirley MacLaine. You know, I mean, this is it. This is it. Young people going, Shirley MacLaine, who is that? She believes in reincarnation. So you don't get a repeat. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. So you got to use it wisely. You got to use it carefully. God commands us, be transformed. Have a goal. Have a plan. Lewis Carroll says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. We need to know where we're going. We need to have a plan. So transformation, it's a command. Also, transformation is a character issue. It's a character issue. It's something that God is doing in us. No, I said the word was an imperative, be transformed. But it's also passive. I love this. It's passive. Now, let's say I learned a lot more about English studying Greek than I ever did studying English. It's a passive verb. In other words, we could translate it, let yourselves be transformed. Whenever something is passive, it means somebody is acting on us. We are receiving the action. But it is a command, right? So therefore, let yourselves be transformed. we are commanded to submit. Really, it's a call to submission, to let God do something in our life. I think there's a little contrast here. It's both an outside job and an inside job. So first of all, it's outside. God is doing the transforming in us. God is the one that is acting upon our lives. Now, whenever I say it's outside, I think there's really two perspectives. While there are steps we must take to put ourselves in a place to be transformed, God is the one who is changing us. Can we just acknowledge that it is God who is at work in my life? If you want to be transformed, you must surrender to the great transformer, Almighty God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Now, Satan would love for you to think that you can manufacture transformation. You can't. You cannot manufacture transformation. You cannot work it out of yourself. It is God who changes us. It is God who works in us from the inside out. God is the great transformer. That's true in a church too. We can try to manufacture things, but I want to tell you, it is God who works in us. We can try to create a spiritual moment. You can't do that. God is the one who shows up and works amongst us. God is the one who meets us here. There's things that we can do to orchestrate certain things and put certain things in order, but it is God who is at work in my life. Now, we can consider outside from another perspective. While God transforms us, He uses outside habits and disciplines to change us on the inside. And we'll be talking about that some. We are shaped by how we think and what we believe. We really are. Honestly, as I look across our nation today, I am shocked at what some people are doing. I'm stunned by what some people say. Christian people. I'm amazed at some of the positions that people take who call themselves Christians. I'll just tell you, as a Christian, I don't know how you can feel good about unborn babies being slaughtered every day. I just don't understand that. I'm stunned. I'm stunned by someone saying, well, the Word of God doesn't really matter. I'm just stunned. But you know what? You know what causes people to act or say certain things? It's what they think. It's what they believe. Stephen Covey says, where we stand depends on where we sit. See, we put ourselves in the place of transformation by certain habits or disciplines. And so as we talk about being transformed and we understand that God is the one that is transforming us, there are some decisions that we ought to make about some habits and some disciplines that we ought to make a part of our everyday lives. We take steps that make transformation in our lives possible. Now, I said something about setting goals earlier. I think that's one of the steps that we could take is to prayerfully set some goals in our lives. But I'm specifically thinking about developing spiritual disciplines in our lives that we practice over and over and over, like Bible study and prayer and worship and fellowship. I think just general reading, filling our minds and growing ourselves. As you work through the Transform book, you're going to notice these devotions. That's really the heart of the book. And the idea is to develop the discipline of meeting with God every day, even if it's just a few minutes, and reading His Word. Spending a few minutes thinking spiritual thoughts and preparing ourselves for the day and allowing God to work in us and through us throughout the day. Memorizing Scripture, it's going to be a big part. So these are steps that we're taking, sort of outside things that we are setting up in our lives so God can work on us on the inside. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. And that's kind of the idea, that we are repeatedly filling our minds with the Word of God, and it is shaping us and it is molding us, and God is using that to change our lives. Now, this is so true in many respects, but I want us to understand, it's possible for us to perform rituals that mean absolutely nothing. Have you ever done that? Oh, I've done a lot. Just rituals. You know, the New Testament is filled with that. The Pharisees in the New Testament, they knew the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures. They knew it, but it didn't change their lives. So we understand that these outside habits and things, it's got to be more than just a hoop we jump through and something that we do. I hope we understand that. But I think that we're going to find that change comes many times in response to our personal disciplines and habits. I know I was reading, I think it always in our men's group, I was reading that section about Moses. There's a lot in that book about Moses and Moses meeting with God at the burning bush. And it talked about God speaking audibly to Moses. I've never audibly heard the voice of God, but you know how I hear the voice of God in my life usually? Usually, he brings a scripture to my mind in a moment. Maybe while I'm praying, maybe while I'm just doing life, and boom, scripture pops into my head, and I stop, and I think about that for a moment, and I realize that it is God prompting me with his word. That would not have happened if I had not memorized his word, if I had not read his word, if I had not been meditating on his word. He brings that scripture into my mind. So I'm setting myself up for transformation by these disciplines and by these habits. So Stephen Covey, I think, tries to capture this in his book, Seven Habits. He says, our character basically is a composite of our habits. I was telling you, when I read that in his book years ago, I looked back at it this week and I made a little note by it when I read it because I know it's possible to have habits and not be changed by it. I understand that. But as we develop spiritual habits, we are preparing ourselves to be changed on the inside. I think that's why the axiom says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So with all this said, God is still the one who changes us. He is working on us from the outside in as he deals with our heart because he's changing us on the inside. So along with this discipline and habit, we've got to add surrender. God, I surrender to you. I surrender. I want you to do your work in me to change me to be more like your son. So not only is it outside with God working on us, but it's inside as God molds our character. Notice that God doesn't say, act transformed. He says, be transformed. This passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is a character issue. Be transformed. God is concerned with who we are, not just how we act. See, we can act a certain way, and many of us do. We put on our religious face, and we go do our thing. We come to church, we act a certain way. God is concerned about who we are on the inside. God is in the transformation business. He says, be transformed. Let your character shape who you are and how you act. Sort of what he was talking about in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So God changes us on the inside, but the choice for transformation is still ours as we surrender to what God is doing in our life. He changes us on the inside, but we have to choose that. We have to say, God, I want this. And that's really what this series is all about. Say, God, I am discontent with the way things are. I want them to be the way they're supposed to be in my life. Discontent is not a bad thing. As we look at our lives and say, all right, I want some change. I need some change. I want something to be different as I live the rest of my life. We've got to make a choice. I like how Marilyn Ferguson said it. No one can persuade another to change. Each of us guards a gate of change that can only be opened from the inside. We cannot open the gate of another, either by argument or by emotional appeal. We got to choose to open the gate of change in our own heart. And so I'm challenging this morning. I want to challenge you to say, God, I want to open the gate of change in my heart. I want you to do something fresh and new in my life. At the end of these 50 days, I want to be a different person. I want to be changed. I want every part of my life to be transformed. And so I surrender to you. So transformation is about your character. It's about the change God wants to make in your life. Character does change everything. Here's the thing. You can fake it for a while, but you know, after a while, what's on the inside shows. It really does. Eventually, what's on the inside shows. That's why people who talk about politicians, they say, oh, character is nothing. Character is everything. Character affects everything, about everything. It affects what decisions we make. It affects the directions that we go. Character is everything. It's everything in your life too. God wants to change you on the inside. He wants to change your character. Note the third thing. Transformation is a process. So it's a command, it's a character issue, but it's also a process. I said that it was an imperative, that's the command. It's passive, we are being acted upon to allow God to change us, allow God to transform us. But it's also a present tense verb, which means continuous action in the Greek New Testament. It means constant action, constant work. To fully translate this present passive imperative, you didn't know you were coming to church today to get an English lesson or a Greek lesson. To fully translate the present passive imperative, you got to say, do not be conformed to this world, but continually let yourselves be transformed. There you go. It really could be translated that way, and that's really the idea, constantly. It is a lifelong deal. See, transformation is not punctiliar, it's linear. It's not an event, it is a process. It is not a destination, it is a journey. I am inviting you this morning on the journey of transformation to join in the process of allowing God to do something fresh in your life, to change you into the person He wants you to be. Now, every journey has a starting point, I understand that. For us, the starting point is when we choose to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. We understand that He is the great transformer. Only Jesus is the one who can change me. He came and He died on a cross for my sins and He rose again from the dead. Only Jesus can forgive. Only Jesus can give me hope. Only Jesus can give me a home for eternity. Only through Jesus do I have a future. And so that is the beginning point where I choose to repent. I choose to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ as my only Savior. There is a beginning point. So I want to tell you here, at the very beginning of this journey, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, that's where it starts. I invite you to Jesus. I invite you to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He's preparing a place for us. Those of us who know us, He's preparing a place for us. You know, when I leaned over my mama Saturday night and told her I loved her, I had no idea that would be my last time. I thought we had days. You know, they give you things that you can expect to happen in the last days. None of that happened. My mom just left this place. She was ready to go home and be with Jesus. I leaned over and I told her I loved her. And I said, Mom, you're about to see Jesus. It's really a great thought, isn't it? I have that opportunity from time to time as a pastor to be with people in their last moments. And there's always a little something that swells up in me that's a little envious. About to see Jesus. What a blessing that is. Jesus was preparing a place for her. If you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, He's preparing a place for you because He wants to spend eternity with you. He loves you. If you're not a Christian, He's inviting you into His family today. That's the beginning of the transformation journey, and I invite you to that, encourage you to respond to God's invitation. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This process, the renewing of your mind. It alludes to the process. It speaks to it. That if we really want to be transformed, guess where it starts? Right here, with how we think, with what we do. That's why there's some habits and some things that we need to incorporate into our lives if we're really going to be transformed. I want to challenge us, that's really what this message is all about, to say, would you sign up? Would you get on board? Would you say, I am all in. I want to be transformed. I want these next 50 days to change my life. I've got an older brother. Some of you have met him. He's been a big influence on my life. He discipled me as a kid. We used to travel and sing together and minister together. And got a lot of respect for him. He's probably one of the smartest people I've ever met. Sometimes he's just going on and on about some deep theological something. And I've just got to, like, let's just talk about the Braves for a minute. I just need to come up for air, you know. He's a really, really sharp guy. He used to always say, Tim, you got to do this. It'll change your life. He'd always say that. I used to say, Dan, if I did everything you tell me to do and it changed my life, I would be so turned around. I'd be changed all the time, you know. If you got to do this, this will change your life. That's really what I'm saying to you. God wants to change your life. These next 50 days can change your life if you'll get on board, if you'll get all in. Now, you could come to church just on Sundays and hear this message and hopefully walk away impacted by it. I hope that you will. But I'll tell you, if that's the only level of participation that you have, I don't think you're going to be changed like you could be changed. I don't think it's going to impact you the way that it could. I want to challenge you to get all in. Getting all in means getting in a small group if you're not in one. And if you are in one, it means attending, going to your small group meetings. You're going to be meeting every week, and you're going to be watching a video, and you're going to be talking about these things. It means participating in your small group, talking and sharing. Being all in means getting a copy of this book, Transformed, and doing the devotionals every day. It means memorizing the scripture. It means talking about this with your family, with your friends. Being all in. On your notes, I've kind of given a list of things. There's a little box. You don't have to check it right now unless you're ready to, but I want to ask you to make these commitments. Look, here's the first one. I commit to attend worship. Now, I had to put this little caveat in there. Or listen to the messages online if I have to miss. Somebody's going to get sick over the next 50 days. Somebody's going to have a crisis. You're going to have to leave town. But listen, the leaves will change without you. So come over these next 50 days. You know, go to the mountains and look at the leaves on Saturday, or, you know, whatever. Georgia can handle it without you skipping church on Sunday, or Alabama, they're going to probably pull it off. So, you know, just come. But if you have to miss, we do put this online. We put the messages online usually by Wednesday. So if you have to miss for some reason, you got to go to work or whatever it is, go online whenever. Listen to the message. Make some notes. So I commit, would you be willing to do that throughout this Transform series? Would you be willing to say, I'm all in, I'm going to come as best I can, I'm going to be here, and if I have to miss, I'm going to listen online? Would you be willing to do that? To say, yep, I'll do that. I'm committed to that. Here's the next thing. I commit to participate in a small group throughout the Transform series. Would you do that? Are you in a group? If not, will you get in a group? You can see Matt after we're over. You can go out in the lobby. You can get in a group. Or you know what you could do? You could find two other friends who are not in a group and just start one, right? I bet Matt would give you a video to say, I mean, how many people does it take to have a small group? Probably more than two, but three would work. So just get a few people together and do it. You could even get your neighbors involved. Say, well, I'll get my neighbors and we'll do small group in my home and I'll invite them to come. And we'll be a group. So would you be willing to do that, to participate in a small group throughout the Transform series? Here's the third thing. I commit to memorizing the weekly Bible memory verse. Would you do that? Would you memorize the scripture? You're going, oh, my mind, I can't remember things. I'm the same way. I told Jack Lamb I was going to change those light bulbs yesterday, and I forgot to do it. I mean, I understand that. I understand that. The older we get, it just kind of slips. But that is no excuse. You cannot stand before Jesus and say, I'm sorry I couldn't memorize your word because I was just too old. You know, God had a feeling. I have a feeling that God knew that we were going to age, and he knew that our memory was not going to be as good. But he still said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. He still said that. That's not just for preschoolers or little children. That's for all of us, to take God's word and hide it in our minds. It may take you a little longer, but do it. Write it on little cards when you're at the red light, you know, whatever. Whatever it is that you do throughout your day, memorize the Word of God. Would you do that? I commit to memorize the weekly Bible verse. I commit to write out my three-month goals. Would you do that? I'm going to write them out. I commit to complete my daily devotional in the Transform book. Daily devotional. It's really best if you do it daily. Don't, you know, Saturday morning do all seven. Catch up. So you can stand before Jesus and say, I did my book, you know. God's in the business of transforming us, and it's really a daily thing. It's kind of like eating, exercising, daily devotion. I commit to pray daily and surrender myself to God's transforming work in my life. Would you commit to that? I'm excited about this series and what God wants to do. It is going to change our lives if we'll do it. If you will hear and read and watch and talk and do, you will grow. If all you do is come to church and hear, you're not going to be transformed. I promise. It's not going to change our lives. We're going to be no different at the end of 7 weeks. It was nice. It was good. We'll move on. But if you will hear it and read it and watch it and discuss it, write it, do it, you won't be the same person in 50 days. Life will never be the same again. So I invite you on a journey. Would you join me as we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you allow us into your family and you invite us into transformation on this journey, this process, where you are working in our hearts, where you are changing us every day to be more like your Son. God, I pray that you would grow a holy discontentment in our lives as we look at the way things are and consider the way things could be. That through this discontentment, we would be willing to start the journey to say, okay, God, whatever you want to do in me, that's what I want you to do. I surrender to you. So God, I pray for us, all of us, that we would start something today that we'll look back at and say, that was a life-changing experience. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder if you would be willing to pray this prayer. God, I give you permission to change whatever needs to be changed in my life. Please use the next 50 days to permanently transform my life and to make the rest of my life the best of my life. God, we are looking forward to what you're going to do in us and through us over these next days. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.